You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
Amen. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. And it's always good to come to God's house and to feel His presence that we feel here tonight. Thank the Lord for the worship and all the youth that are downstairs and the children that are having service as well. I was praying God's blessing upon them. Amen. You have your Bibles, turn with me if you would. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And we'll just read one verse and then we'll minister throughout the story. But verse 14 is the verse that we will read. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 14. It says, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." What a wonderful promise that is stated in this verse. And so tonight I want to speak to you for a little bit, amen, on a call to sacrifice. Amen. Although we often desire to focus on God's blessing, which we all like His blessing. Yeah, sure. We all like the blessings of the Lord. So even though a lot of times we focus on His blessing, He sometimes asks us or calls us to sacrifice. And it's in these instances that our obedience to that call or God leading us in that dimension sometimes is actually quite a challenge. And Elijah knew what kind of a challenge this was. And the story that I'm reading to you from tonight in 1 Kings chapter 17 gives us one of those times when the sacrifice appeared in a very difficult situation. It was not an easy situation. So Elijah knew this truth of sacrifice firsthand. And when the Lord led him to proclaim that there would be no rain or dew throughout the land, Elijah knew that that was also going to affect him. Not only was he proclaiming to King Ahab that it wasn't going to rain and there wasn't even going to be dew that would affect the results of what had happened to God's people because of Ahab, it was going to bring famine to the land that he alone would also not escape. It was going to touch Elijah. And God had a plan that he would miraculously preserve Elijah, and he honored his sacrifice. And even when Elijah makes this proclamation that there's not going to be rain and he realizes it's going to affect him as well, you can imagine maybe even being hesitant to be called to this sacrifice that he's proclaiming. But God had a plan that he was going to miraculously spare Elijah and his glory would be seen. And so the Lord honored the sacrifice of Elijah. And he honored the sacrifice of a widow who provided food for Elijah. And although the story has a happy ending, there are times when God requires us and calls us to sacrifice that we don't get to see what the ending is. First, there's times he calls us into a place with him that's not always comfortable. And we don't always know what the end goal is going to be. It's easy for us to look back at this story and say, you know what, that was a powerful, powerful time for Elijah. He declared there wasn't going to be any rain and there wasn't going to be any dew. And that's exactly how it happened for more than 3 years. And all of a sudden, the God miraculously spared Elijah with a raven. And then when that brook dried up, he spared Elijah with coming to this widow. And she, like, this is miraculous. All those things weren't known at the beginning how it was going to happen. And so you have the instance where sometimes there's a call to sacrifice and we don't know exactly how God's going to do the miraculous. And so you see famine occurred during the drought and there was crop-eating insects and blight on the farms and environmental factors that took place, and the famine recorded in 1 Kings 17 appeared in the land for an entirely different reason. There was some divine punishment that was being brought here, and the prophet Elijah the Tishbite proclaimed to King Ahab that there was not going to be any rain and there was not going to be any dew. And for the next few years, the evil that had been done by Ahab and his wife Jezebel, and how they had done such evil in the land that God was going to bring a punishment upon them. But God's people ended up being caught in the same situation. God commissioned Elijah to declare this severe judgment, because too many people were worshiping the false god called Baal. And many that was in that northern kingdom of Israel devoted themselves to Baal. And what's interesting is Baal was known to be the rain god. And Elijah's proclaiming that there's not going to be any rain. And this god that they're serving that's not real is supposed to be the rain god. Isn't that like God? He's going to really show himself by bringing a famine when the rain god is supposed to be in charge of the rain. Well, it's interesting that God's in charge of the rain, not Baal. And he's going to prove something to his people here that believing in a rain god, even though the land might be fertile and the crops might be fertile, God was going to intervene, that he was going to be identified as the one true God, and he was going to make himself real to everyone that was there. And if the people wouldn't hunger and thirst after his righteousness, they would find themselves in a dire situation of an answer to prayer. And so our text reveals the terrible plight of the people, and showing that even the innocent were suffering because of the guilty. And we read of this story that the widow woman and her son, they're facing the famine just like everybody else, and they've just got meager little meals, and that's trying to keep them alive, and they're suffering the hunger and the starvation because they're running out of food and they're wondering what they're going to do. And all of a sudden, Elijah enters the picture. And he countered the woman. She's gathering sticks and she's picking up each stick. And she may have felt that she was even counting down the days probably of her death and even the death of her son. And she's trying to gather these things to prepare for this one last meal before they die. And she takes this small amount of remaining food that she has and this final meal that she's got, and she's going to make for her son and herself one last cake. Their last supper would be some slow, agonized demise that they would not be able to recover from. The future, folks, looked bleak. It looked bleak. You could even imagine that maybe they would be hoping that an invading army would come by and just put them out of their misery. But that's not what happened. They're down to their last meal. And while the widow and her son are facing this daily struggle for food, Elijah has been benefiting from divine intervention. Now, he's drinking from a brook, and he's being fed by the ravens a couple times a day. Now, I don't know. Probably not everyone would be too excited about the ravens bringing you food. But I'm pretty confident if you didn't have any, it would be okay. And there's a divine intervention that's happening for Elijah. He's got water and he's got food twice a day while everyone else is ready to starve to death. And God allows the brook to dry up. and the ravens to stop coming. And there's an encountering of the story that the miraculous is going to take place. And ordinary people are going to be part of this miraculous that's God's going to show. And so the story takes an odd turn when the prophet encounters the widow that's just got one little bit of food left. And rather than giving immediately to her a miracle so that she would be taken care of, he comes with this unusual, strange command. I don't know. I think most people who have been having meals twice a day. Why is it so quiet in here? People's been getting meals twice a day. It would seem obvious that he would show up to the widow and say, you know, it's been rough for you. I'm going to pray that God does something miraculous for you. I mean, that seems like the obvious. I've been taken care of twice a day, having dinner and breakfast, and God's been taking care of me. I'm going to pray a miracle upon you. That's not what he says. It's actually the opposite. He's going to tell her that the little bit she's got left, I want you to give that to me first. Now, there'll be lots of things written on Facebook today if that was the approach of the preacher. Oh, you've just got one little cake left in the cupboard? Too bad. I need it. What, you don't think there'll be things on Facebook about that? I can guarantee you. I'm so glad I don't have it. I wouldn't have to read them. You can be guaranteed there'll be lots of comments if the preacher showed up and you had one meal left and he said, that's mine. Look at you, preacher. You wouldn't waste away for months. Me and my son here's got one last little meal and we're going to make sure we take care of ourselves. And that's not what Elijah said. Elijah said to her, I want your final meal. I want what you have left. Most people might have refused that outlandish request. But the scripture says, I want you to notice what the scripture says, that this widow already heard from God. It says in this chapter 17, verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. She's already heard from God that Elijah's miracle is going to happen. She doesn't even know it's Elijah that's going to show up, but she's already been told that I'm going to take care of the prophet when he comes. I'm not here tonight begging for food. I'm here to preach about a call to sacrifice. Because there's something that happens inside of our spirit when it gets into our spirit that the call of sacrifice affects us in such a powerful way. And that's what happened to this little lady. When the Lord impressed upon the woman to take care of the prophet, perhaps she thought that the hunger pains, amen, and that they would go away. But that's not what happened. She wondered maybe if there was going to be some type of a situation where, you know, it's just going to immediately start the rain. That's not what happened either. Maybe she went to the other side and she said, I think maybe I've become delusional. Maybe I'm having all kinds of things happen to me because I'm so hungry. Bible doesn't say any of those things. It just says that the Lord told her to take care of the prophet. The outrage, I'm sure, would be expressed maybe by even people of that day of starving mother and child happened to take care of the prophet who's been fed two meals a day all the time that they've gone through the famine. We get to see the sovereign plan of God because we get to read from the beginning to the end, but they were living it. They were living what was happening. They didn't get to see the written word that we have. They didn't get to see the end of the story. The widow didn't know what it was. She just had a call to sacrifice, and the call got her in such a way, she said, above everything else, I'm putting God into the forefront of this situation. God had a greater plan in mind than the widow's circumstances. She was going to trust in the Lord despite some overwhelming feeling that the situation had no earthly sense. I mean, she was looking at it and it didn't make one ounce of sense. This preacher has been taken care of twice a day. I've got one meal left, but I'm going to give it to him. Folks, that's a call to sacrifice. That's beyond our comprehension. I will trust in God even when I don't see the plan that he has. See, we too face the challenge of maybe seeing past or present things that happen in our lives, just like the woman, that we might see a situation where God's putting us in circumstances and it seems like we're in more need of the miracle than someone else. And then we walk down that road and we're faced with the challenges and the tests, and it doesn't seem to make sense, amen, that God would call us to sacrifice. And we can easily talk about our faith and trust in the Lord when things are prosperous. But when we get into situations where it's the opposite, it's hard to exercise your faith in difficult situations. Since we walk by faith and not by sight, we must allow our situation to not overwhelm us, because we know that God, when he calls us to sacrifice, he has a plan. And sometimes, church, we got to look past the logic. We live in a world that wants to figure everything out. And let me tell you tonight, if you can figure it all out, it's probably not God. Just like most people, the widow likely had a difficult time trying to reason that this last meal would be for the prophet. But for a miracle to occur, she had to go outside the boundaries of logic and listen to what God had told her to do and walk wisely by faith into that faith. Listen, I'm not talking about doing things that are off the wall that are not still done with wisdom. But I am saying that God will call us into a time of sacrifice and into a place with him that doesn't seem to be the norm and the logic doesn't seem to make sense. But for him to show his provision in the miraculous, he does call us sometimes to sacrifice. And we have become a spoiled people. Me included. If you've had the blessing of traveling to other parts of the world, you get to realize how blessed we really are. And sometimes if we're not careful, we don't even realize the blessings we have and how prosperous that life has been for us. Yet people who maybe have less see the greater call to sacrifice and God's provision that happens in their life, and they're sometimes quicker to answer that call. See, God provided for the woman and her son through the prophet the unique and the strange demand that he made. The story sounds like it's so far off and so far-fetched. But you see that this little widow lady is from Zarephath. Her city, Zarephath, forms part of the northern boundary of Canaan. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 20 tells us this. We think God miraculously intervened to an Israelite woman, but that wasn't the case. The scripture points to us that she was a widow that was probably from Canaan, a Canaanite or a Phoenician. She wasn't even one of God's chosen people. Yet she answered the call to sacrifice to take care of one of God's chosen people. It takes the story even to a greater dimension. Could it be if we're not careful, that we don't hear the call to sacrifice and God goes beyond to people who will listen? You say, Pastor, what are you doing? I have no idea. We're just going to see what we find out. See, sometimes it's doesn't seem to make sense. Well, you know, I've been serving God 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. That doesn't give you or I any extra rights. It actually gives us extra responsibility. See, Jesus' teaching shed some further light on this woman's identity because he's declaring that no prophet is accepted in his own country. Jesus was speaking in that passage of many widows that lived during the days of Elijah during the 3.5-year drought, but he only speaks about this one woman. Elijah was fed by this one woman. Jesus connected that story with the cleansing of another person that's outside the camp, the former leper, Nathan, the Syrian. He puts that into the same story, and there's without a doubt many, many people who were leprous during that time, and Jesus upsets them when he talks about two people that weren't even part of the group. The widow, Naaman, and they follow the direction that's given, and the miraculous takes place. Church, I want us to be careful. Most high and miss the call to sacrifice. What am I talking about? Maybe it's an extra day of prayer and an extra day of fasting, and maybe it's an extra day of outreach, and maybe it's an extra use of talent, and maybe it's an extra use of finance, and maybe it's an extra use of your abilities. Don't allow yourself to fall into the trap that you don't listen to the call of sacrifice, because we don't have a monopoly on God. Do you realize right now he's pouring out his spirit upon all kinds of people who are not Pentecostal? I can give you example after example of people who are just hungry for him. And I get nervous, church, that we fall into a trap where the call of sacrifice may go right over our head. And Jesus allowed them to hear about this woman, this woman who was a Canaanite, maybe a Phoenician, and Naaman who was a Syrian, and said, listen, there was all kinds of people that could have been used that day, but this is who I used. Knowing that the widow likely did not have an Israelite pedigree even makes her story more compelling. She responded in faith to the prophet's request, leading us to wonder if none of the Israelite widows would have done the same. While people in Jesus' day might have considered themselves superior to others, Jesus allowed them to be humbled with the story that happened way back in 1 Kings chapter 17. He could have sent Elijah anywhere, but he chose to send him to the widow at Zarephath, because in verse 9, she heard the call to sacrifice and was willing to listen. I'm just collecting a few sticks so we can have our last meal and die. And Elijah said, bake a cake for me first. Now, I don't know. I'm just trying to think through the process. I'm not a real baker of bread. I'm an eater of bread. But as she's making that little cake, did she have second thoughts when she was getting that ready? And when she put it on the fire, did she have second thoughts? Man, what am I doing? This should be for me. She turns it over to cook the other side or whatever. I don't know what she did. But I'm confident. This didn't just happen within a few seconds. Every stick that she gathered, every part of the process, did she have thoughts that was going through her mind? What am I doing? What am I doing? This is it for me and my son. No, she had heard a call. And in that call, she said, God had spoken into her. You take care of the prophet. She had no guarantee of what was going to happen because of that. She had no understanding of the miraculous that would take place. And so here she bakes that little cake and she brings it to Elijah first at the direction of Elijah. The act of faith that required an action that she did, no matter, she had no idea what was going to happen because of that. But she acted upon it anyway. And then she realized that the same amount of oil was in the cruse. And the same amount of meal was left when she was done. I don't know how that generated a thought in her mind. Maybe it was, I had more than I expected. I guess I miscalculated how much I had left. You ever done that? Okay, I don't know what's going on here, but it's a way too quiet, I can tell you that. Have you ever put your hand in your coat pocket and pulled out a 10 that you didn't know you had? No? And you're wondering where that came from? Man, I don't remember putting that in there. Oh, that's nice. Maybe it's a 20. Maybe you're cleaning up in the living room and you find all your change in the back of the cushions of the couch. I don't know what that is. Sometimes it just happens that you weren't expecting. Man, I don't know what her thought pattern was. All I know is she got to see that what she had just done didn't end. And the miraculous started to happen, and the call to sacrifice was responded to, and something took place that day that let her realize that the command she received in chapter 9 was powerful, but the action that she took because of the command not only took care of the prophet, but it also took care of her and her son. Okay, we'll get there. God rewarded the widow's sacrifice with the miraculous provision. She started out with only the hope, but afterwards she had the miraculous. The Lord kept filling up that little barrel and that little cruse, that none of it wasted away. None of it wasted away until the famine was over. God strengthened her faith. And you can only imagine, after that happens for a few days, what faith would be increased inside of her. Well, he took care of it yesterday. I'm confident he will take care of it again today. And a week later, it's got the same amount in there. And you can imagine, I don't know if she was telling people. The Bible doesn't tell us all that stuff. It just lets us know that it didn't waste away. But I'm pretty confident she didn't probably keep it to herself. I'm pretty confident that the word got out. The widow's meal is still going. The cruse of oil is still going. And I imagine she told some friends and she told some other people. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But if every day you put your hand into the same pocket and you found another 10, it wouldn't be too long before you told someone, something's going on. I just checked this pocket yesterday, Brother Robertson. It had a 10 in it. Does anyone ever remember the story with Brother Mooney was here? Brother Mooney was here, and I was sitting up there on the platform. He was doing district conference, and he came over to me to shove a $10 bill in my suit coat pocket, and I hadn't opened it. I don't. Anyone remember that? No. People don't pay attention to what's going on. He went to shove a $10 bill in my suit coat, and I had not opened it. He said, you're not ready to receive a blessing. That's what he said. The next night, I was all ready and out to the vehicle. And I thought, I checked my pocket, and guess what? That suit, the pocket door wasn't open either. I went right back in the house, got the scissors, and got that open. You just never know. What do you think he did? The very first thing before he preached that night, he walked over to where I was sitting with his $10 bill, and it slipped right in there. He said, you're ready for a blessing tonight. How is it? I can tell you that little woman, I don't know exactly everything she thought, but I can tell you on day 7 and day 77, something happened inside of her that realized the call to the miraculous was the right response. Amen. Something took place in her spirit at that moment that said, I'm on the right track. I don't know what it is that God has in store for you tonight, but the call to sacrifice is the opportunity for Him to bless you in some way. The widow's outstanding example of faith and trust in God should encourage every one of us to realize that God has a divine plan for your life. And sometimes it's nice to receive the blessings of the Lord. And obviously we're thankful for those. But there are times when He calls us into a different level. And that's the call to sacrifice. And sometimes that takes us out of our comfort zone. And it takes us into our community. And it takes us into situations that we're not always familiar with. But in those cases, there is opportunity for His blessing and the miraculous to take place in a deeper dimension than we've ever experienced before. How many of you, when the ketchup bottle's getting down to the last, take it and turn it upside down when you put it in the fridge just to get the last little squeeze? Now, I don't care for ketchup, so I wouldn't care less. But just be honest now. Yeah. The syrup bottle. Yeah. You know, just turn that syrup bottle over and there's just that one last little squeeze in there. Doesn't matter how long, hours or days it takes for that to drip all the way down. You're going to get the last little bit out. Yeah, isn't that? Sometimes we do things and we don't even realize. People do that? Sure. When you're just getting where you feel like, man, I am totally drained. I don't know how this situation's going to solve. I don't know how this is going to. Just get yourself turned upside down before God and allow Him to get you down to the last little squeeze. Because He can sustain you in the miraculous when you never even thought it was possible. It's called the call. Sacrifice. I have no idea who I'm preaching to tonight. Maybe it's everybody. Maybe it's just a few. But God's got some miraculous things in store for you, your family, your life. He's got all kinds of things in store for you. If you just listen to the call of sacrifice and not only depend upon His blessing. Because in the call to sacrifice is the miraculous. You can't have a miracle unless you're in need of a miracle. And sometimes he puts us through some difficult situations, and it's not to make us look bad, and it's not to embarrass you, and it's not to punish you in some way. It's for that last little bit of meal and oil to never waste away in your life. Seek carefully what the Lord is saying in your life and obey His call to sacrifice. The situation may not always be easy, and there may not be a lot of logic that seems to make a lot of sense. It may even seem unreasonable, but God has something powerful in your life through sacrifice. Very seldom is the word sacrifice ever used when it's ideal. Okay, maybe the only positive time is when someone gets a sacrifice fly in baseball. If you don't know anything about baseball, that's fine. Someone's on third base, and the guy comes up, and he hits it just far enough in the air that he gets out, but the guy at third gets home. And then the guy that got out, he comes back into the dugout, and they're all giving him high fives. He just got out, but he hit a sacrifice fly. You know what's interesting about a sacrifice fly? It's not even considered an at-bat. It doesn't even go against him. He got the guy in. He's on the bench. He got out, but he got the guy in. That's the only time I ever hear of sacrifice in a good way. Sacrifice is always, it sounds painful. You decide you're going to sacrifice a meal, that's when you'll be the most hungry. That's when someone will invite you over for supper. Every time, it'll be something you really like, too. Sacrifice doesn't come across in a nice way. But the call to sacrifice opens up the miraculous. And I don't know about you. Music comes, so I'll quit. There's something churning in my spirit for the miraculous to take place in this church and in this city. I'm talking about divine interruptions into people's lives where God provides when it didn't seem that was even possible. And people are delivered and set free by the authority and the power of God. And people's families are put back together. And marriages are restored. And ministries are realized. And people's lives all of a sudden are changed by the power of God. What they used to be is no longer a working of the miraculous. But for the only way for that to happen is a listening to the call of sacrifice that He's giving to us. It might interrupt your night of sleep. I don't know how it happens often. I'll wake up and my wife's gone. She didn't leave the house. She didn't go and take a drive somewhere. I know where she's at. She's out in the living room or walking the floors in prayer. Sometimes sacrifice will interrupt your sleep. Sometimes it'll interrupt your comfort zone. And sometimes it'll interrupt your plans. Sometimes it'll put you in an unreasonable situation that it doesn't seem logical. How can I give more time? And how can I use my talents more than what I'm doing? And how can I be a better giver? And how? All kinds of things come. How is it possible? And yet there's still a yearning inside of your spirit of a call to sacrifice. And God is trying to open the realm of the supernatural. Maybe it's just a walking into the hospital because you just can't get it off your mind that someone needs prayer, or across the street, or whatever the case is, you can't get it out of your spirit. There's a call to sacrifice, and it's an opening of the door to the miraculous. I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in it passing over and going somewhere else. I want the miraculous to take place throughout the whole city, but it better be in Mission Point. If you think I'm stirred up, that's exactly the truth. Because something's been happening in my spirit for some time about the miraculous. You have it in the back of your mind that you want to see it happen, but you know that there has to be an opportunity for a miracle for that to even happen, and that makes people nervous. How's that going to affect me? How's that going to disrupt my life? How's that going to challenge my situation? And sometimes we don't like the unknowns. We like to know ahead of time, God, how are you doing it and what you're going to do? Let me tell you, the widow didn't know that. All she knew is when she listened to the call of sacrifice, it opened the pathway to the miraculous. And as long as the famine lasted, the miraculous took place. We are getting closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. We can't just think, well, it may come 10 years from now or 20 years from now. No, we need the miraculous now. Situations that are happening in people's lives and families and kids, we need the miraculous now. So there's a call out for sacrifice. There's a call out for people that are just like the little widow is listening. Well, there. I mean, you got your ears open to the call, and you're willing to say, God, I'm going to heed the call. I don't know what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, but I want to be part of the divine, miraculous plan that you have for my life. Even as I say those words, my flesh is a little bit timid. Because we have no idea what God has in store. So you get a little bit, what am I saying? What am I thinking? Just preach something nice and fluffy. Everyone's doing good and smile. Go on your way. No, there's a city that's lost and is in need of God. And people have to be spared. And you and I will be called to sacrifice. I have no idea what that will entail other than the miraculous will be unleashed because he's in charge. God, I pray over this congregation right now that every speck of doubt, every little drop of worry, the figuring out part, the logical part, that some of us, God, have that in our being. I pray, God, you just allow that to be pushed to the side right now and allow the power of your spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost to arise in people's spirits, God, to arise inside of their heart and in their mind that says, there's something that's inside of me that has a drawing effect, God, to what you desire to do, and I just want to be part of it, whatever it entails.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.